Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. See you. To see you. I am lifted up, shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing. Holy, holy, holy.
You love him?
Pour out your power and love as we sing, holy, 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 holy.
He's worthy, isn't he?
Holy, 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 I want.
Amen and amen and amen. I want to see him. Amen. Good to see everybody in the house of the Lord. If you'd like turning your scriptures, turn where we've been reading in Revelations 1. Just remember now, the ones that are going fishing, to make sure all our plans are made. Make sure you bring all your outfits with you, because it won't be... You're going to be 15 miles back in there, and it'll be a long walk out to try to go get you something else, you know. So make sure you bring your drinks for your children and things, and then make sure you bring some warm clothing, because it's been being cool of a morning. So you might order that, put in a shirt, you know, an extra one, and maybe an old sock cap, because it may be a little bit cool up there in the evening sitting around the campfire. So looking forward to a good time.
Amen.
And if, like we've always said to you, if any of the rest of you want to just drive up, it's no problem to find us. Just ask where we're at, and you can drive up and be with us and fellowship with us. Because just looking forward to a good time, right? Amen. Revelations 1:1-3. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your love and your grace unto us. Thank you for you. We thank you for the day and the hour that we're living and the time that we have, Father. Most of all, thank you for revealing yourself unto us. But where would we be? What worth would they be in this life if we gained all of the money, all of the wealth, all the things that could be done in life? What would it be? Because we would face a time that we would be no more. But yet, Lord, in you we know that we face an eternity. Lord, that's a wonderful opportunity. We love you and we thank you, and we ask you now to just be with us. As we read your word, you come and speak to our hearts. And Lord, just let your light shine in each one of us in Jesus' name. Amen. Revelations 1. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him, to shew unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. And he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John, who by record of the word of God and of the testimony of Jesus Christ and of all things that he saw. Blessed is he that readeth and they that hear the words of this prophecy and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. You may be seated. The Lord add his blessing. The time to understand is here upon us. You know, so we just appreciate God in his revealing himself. And like I've said, we talk about the book of Revelations, and we know that it's written in symbols, but yet God has given us an ability to be able to understand the symbols, because he gave us a prophet to bring those symbols to us and speak the simplicity. And to me, that's the greatest of all things that's ever been to me about this message. As I've told you many times about it, what caught my attention, I wouldn't have theologian, but I had a decent understanding of the letter of the word, because that's what we read. We didn't emphasize too much on other things. We emphasized on getting the gold star for however time you could read the Bible through, you know. So we done that, you know, and all. But But the point was to me, when the prophet began to explain things, it was just so simple. You know. And it's like I said about the stumbling over the stumbling stone, that you're in you're on a football field 100 yards long and 50 yards wide or something, and there's one stone out there, and you're looking for it, and you stumble around, fall all over the thing trying to find it, you know. And that's about as dumb as we all were in our thinking and doings. But, you know, the prophet come to tell us that you don't have to interpret it. He said, just take it for what it is and believe it. Well, it's that simple to us, you know, to bring it down to an understanding. All right. Now, you remember the thing that we've talked about also in the point of that in the book of Revelations, the bride is shown, you know, that is her book, and it's showing her because according to Christ the mystery of God revealed, the prophet said the bride is to also to be revealed. Well, then we're seeing ourselves in the book. What odd to be, see, is we're not trying to find ourselves in the others, because that's fine. They had their day, and we can associate with it. But we're trying to find ourselves in the book that we were told to stay away from. So you can see why Satan has tried to hinder us in understanding the book of Revelations, because in that we can see our very day and hour that we're living upon the earth and the things, you know, that we are here. And we thank God for that. Now, but we covered up now until we started into chapter 4. And I pray that you just keep reading it over and over and jot down your little thoughts along the way. And we'll finish up with chapter 4. We'll go into chapter 5. All right. Now, this past Sunday, we spent actually two services bringing a point to you, or trying to get the point to us, that the bride will go up in Revelations 4:1, all right, and then not seen until the 19th chapter. And you say, yes, but Brother Dale, there's Revelations 10:7. Don't you think that's the prophet's message? That's exactly right. It is the prophet's message. This message is going to Israel when we get out of here, and it'll be the prophet's message. Those two witnesses will pick right up, and they'll have a wonderful background, because, you know, I wouldn't doubt what they're not here right now. Now, some has tried to make it this man and that man. Who's worried about it? No, we're not going to be here to look at it. I don't want to know. It don't matter to me who it is. But if it would be anything I could do to help him to get an understanding, now, I'd sure do that, but I'd do that with anybody. You know, I mean, I wouldn't have no problems with trying to help anybody to get an understanding of God, because that's the thing that's always been in my heart, all right, is to try to help others. But now, we saw that, so I just put about three little quotes back in to where that we wouldn't, you know, have any problems and connect it together, and somebody getting this message and doesn't get the one before or whatever, then it's hard for them to be able to understand what we're talking about. And if I just left it there with that, Revelation 4:1, we go up and don't come back till 19:21, what kind of doctrine they got, you know? Well, then we just show that's where the prophet is telling those things. And I told Brother Anderson, I said, tonight we may be jumping from 1 to 10 to 8 to 4, because that's the numbers of the, you know, the quotes. But I try not to, but I've got a couple of little thoughts in my mind that I want us to see. And then we'll keep moving on and doing it. So let's pull up number one of the notes we were using this past Sunday and look at what the prophet says. This is taken from the fifth seal, 1963, 322, paragraph 87. But the reason that he reveals that, I, as I understand, that it is because that the mystery of the book of redemption, now watch, as far as the Antichrist being revealed, now watch. And at the same time, the church has gone up. Now, the Antichrist being revealed. Now, the Antichrist is not made known as the man of sin sitting in the temple of God to fulfill the first seal of the Antichrist, right, until we go out of here in a rapture. And they asked Brother Branham that question, you know, will 1 Thessalonians there, a man of sin sitting until, will that fulfill the first seal? He said, yes. All right? So now, we are seeing then what Israel will get, because the Antichrist is revealed to us. All right? See, now, literally, he'll stand up there. But he has to go through the stages of Antichrist, spirit form, false prophet, which we'll get back to in the church ages when we do cover a little bit in the chapter 5. And then he becomes incarnate false prophet, and then he can become the beast. That's his stages of the four beasts that come up. Right? But look what the prophet is saying. See? Here, as we come to Revelations 4:1, then the book of the mystery of redemption, as far as the Antichrist being revealed, is made known to you and I. Right? It's made known right now. That's what's happening here. All right. Now, and watch. And at the same time, the church is gone. And these things don't even happen in the church age at all. That's right. They're away from the church age. The church absolutely is raptured at this time. The church goes up in the fourth chapter of Revelation and does not return until it comes back with its king in the 19th chapter. But these seals here are revealing what has been, what is, and what will be. All right, everything is revealed in the seals. All right, now the bride has been given the seal. That was the prophet's message, was to start there in 63, see, to bring us his message. The other was a restoration back into what would be known as the faith of the fathers. From 47, or wherever you want to start with him, you know, 47 is when they started keeping the tapes, or had the ability to hold the tapes, until 62 in the last, he was dealing with bringing the faith of the fathers, to preaching what they were bringing. All right? Then he brought his message. He said, not in the years, rapture message, not in the years of preparation, but said when he begins to sound. All right. So the prophet's message began there through the opening of the seals and going through the message. So then the seal is going to reveal what has been, what is, and what will be. And you and I, as the bride of Christ, we look back at the Garden of Eden, right? And we see what happened in the garden. All right. The prophet even said like this. He said, serpent seed. What? What happened in the garden? What started there? He said it's revealed in the seals. Right. See, so we see what was the beginning. We see, I'm saying we, the bride, we see what's taking place now. We see that it's getting very close for that Pope to walk into a covenant with the Antichrist, I mean the Jews and the Gentiles in the basis of the Antichrist movement, the Pope and things, it's just coming closer and closer and closer until, you know, it could happen at any time. And you know yourself, now, be sensible. You don't just start something doing, because even many, many, many years ago, I showed you, this is probably 30, 35 years ago, that the Catholic Church is not in the World Council of Churches. All right, but they have representatives there, and you know what's happened. We start dealing with, you know, we hear something that they're going to make a sign a deal with some country over there. Well, now they didn't go over there yesterday and sit down and write out all of the stuff. Get a little sense about that with the Bible and understand. For years they deal on those things to try to work out all of the problems. And then, when we begin to see it, it's already almost into effect. You know. Well, see, that's the way Satan does. See, that Antichrist covenant is already close to being made with Israel as a nation. Now, the 144,000 will come out of that. And they're not counted as the nation while we're here on earth. You know, they're counted 144,000. Which would be eunuchs to the bride. All right. But see, we see what has been, what is, and what will be. We see all the way to the future home. The prophet's message has been delivered to you and I that we can see all the way to Revelation 21, 22, and see what's going to be, even what the city will be like. You know, because that's his bride. You know, he's not going to withhold anything from it. You know, and you may have kept a few secrets from your wife before you married her, but basically you told everything. You know, right? You basically, through the years of courtship or time of courtship, you basically told your wife what to expect, you know, and getting ready for everything. All right. Now, so think about those things. See, then you'll see what's taking place. So the bride does, then she goes up, Revelation 4:1. She's not seen till 1921. But that's what I said. Everybody says, well, what do you mean, Revelation 10:7? Well, that's good. And I expressed that to you. I've done that for 30-something years. Well, no, excuse me. I'd say about 20 years on that, really, or more, on that in essence of trying to explain it. That John, when he got up to there, he was wondering how he was going to get what he was saying back to the church. Because he wasn't told to write this book of Revelation to the world. Right? Go back to chapter 1. Write this and send it to the churches. Even name the ones it was to be sent to, where it would come down to be and correspond with the ages that would come down. See? And that was who it to be sent to. Not to the world. The world can't understand the book of Revelation. The world can't understand Genesis 1. No. I mean, come on. They can't do it. They can't understand none of it. And until we're born again, we can't. And we can quote a lot. You know, we can quote what Brother Brown said. But does that mean we understand? All right. Now, see, in doing that, then coming up to where we are, see, then the prophet, as I said, John was looking and he said, how can I get this back to the church? Because he realized something had happened, that he had been taken from the church ages that he was writing the message to, you know, and about each age, as he wrote chapter 2 and 3. And now he says, how can he get that back there? So the key was the word but. See? So he's standing there, how can I get this back there to them? But in the days of the seventh angel, the angel to come in the Laodicean age, not the beginning of it, but the ending of the age, that the messenger would come. Now he sees that messenger will be a prophet. And he says, glory, 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 we got it. See? Look up when you get time, just go home. I looked it up the other day just to check it a little. But just look up the word but. It's got a lot of good meanings to it. Because it's a word expressing, in other words, showing at that time, or this is right, this is something going to happen. See, just look it up. All right. Well, go on now. Let's go to number 2 and then number 3, and we'll read these, and then we'll get into our message. Go ahead with number 2. All right. This is from the Feast of the Trumpets, 1964, 719, the morning service, paragraph 36 and 37. The first three chapters of the book of Revelation revealed all the happenings unto the church. Then from the 3rd unto the 19th of Revelation, chapter of Revelation, there is no more seen of the church. He's talking about the bride. Now, he ain't talking about the church. The church is there. The church goes through the tribulation, but not the bride. All right, now follow it. The church goes up at the 4th chapter of Revelation, returns back to the 19th chapter of Revelation. The bride and the groom together coming to the earth, and then from the 19th chapter to the conclusion of the 22nd chapter, it's all on the millennium and what will be in the years that is to follow. During the 4th to 19th, God is dealing with Israel. Alright. Now, so that's not us being put over there. Alright, let's get to the next one, because that was what we dwelt on Sunday. Either get the point of the paragraph 23 of The Breach, 1963, 317E. Now we're going to turn to the fifth chapter. Now this is not the seven seals. It is the breach between the church ages and the seal, seven seal. Now there is also a sixth chapter there was a fourth chapter of Revelation. And in that it kind of revealed something that would take place after the church going up. That the church goes up on the third chapter of Revelation and does not return until the 19th chapter of Revelation. See, therefore the church misses the tribulation. The bride misses the tribulation. Now the church system will go through the tribulation. All right? But not the bride. She's not going through the tribulation. Why? Because she's already perfect by the blood of Jesus Christ. All right? And we miss the tribulation. Now that's wonderful.
Amen.
As I was trying to express Sunday, you know, we think about, well, look at all these horrible things taking place. Until now they're getting diseases that the doctors and medical science don't even know what it is. And things that are just, you know, I mean, it's just something. What about that little girl the other day with that disease that it's just eating up the body? They're having to take off amputating parts of her body to keep her alive. Isn't that something? Who had ever thought something would be like that? Forgive me. But Brother Branham said it'd come a time cancer would be like a toothache. Diseases now, they call it something like the chalk or something disease. Person just literally almost turns to chalk. There's no cure for any. Nothing for it. Okay. All right. Just bear with me. Preach Sunday like 40 and not get a bit. Come up here tonight and it winds up giving me problems. Okay. Who worries about that? That may be part of that tribulation, but it ain't a great tribulation. The tribulation is the wrath of God. We're in a pre-tribulation. We're in a period of horrible times around the world, but we're not in the tribulation. You better not be here then, because you'll cry to die and can't. You'll cry for the rocks to fall on you, and it won't do no good. What about your bodies just being eaten? What about even to where that the animals will eat off your bodies while you're still alive? Now, that'd be pretty horrible, wouldn't it? I mean, it'd make you sick, but did you see that in the paper just recently where that somebody attacked that homeless guy and just eat his face off? Yeah. That's under the time of grace. What about that? That's just an animal. You know, no wonder Brother Run said to you, without the Holy Ghost, you ain't nothing but an animal. All right. But now, do you see what I'm talking about? The bride comes in the rapture. All right? In the fourth chapter. All right? Thereby, she doesn't have to go through the tribulation. The foolish virgin does, because she does not have the baptism of the Holy Ghost as the new birth. You see what I said? As the new birth. She may have it as an anointing, maybe that kind of a being, but not as the new birth. All right? So thereby she misses it, you know, and we can see it. But as I said, and let me say it again, so you say, but Brother Dale, I can't understand how come you don't want Revelation 10. I didn't move Revelation 10, 7. I even showed you where Brother Branham said that Revelation 10, 1 of that mighty angel is the same as Revelation 1:13. One standing in the midst of seven golden candlesticks, like unto the Son of Man, girt about the paps. Now, do we believe what he says? See, are you mad at me because I found what he said? You know, are offended at me because, you know, that I say these things? Well, you know, well, that's all right. I'm not worried about it because I ain't trying to make no great thing anyway. I'm trying to be one thing, used of God. To try to break the scriptures and the prophet's message down to where you and I can understand it. But if we don't have the Holy Ghost, we can't understand it. So the greatest thing in the world for anybody is the baptism of the Holy Ghost. All right. Now, that ought to be settled with one thing in our hearts and our lives. Okay. Now, the prophet of God then, John, being who he was, he could look back to the seventh church age angel, the ending up, and he could see that there would be an ability to take the rest of what he would be talking about, even in heaven. Now, you remember I gave it to you there where Brother Brown said that this was something like Paul's experience. John had an experience like Paul. See, Paul was taken up, and he couldn't describe what he saw. Huh? But John was taken up and told to write down what he saw. But now we know he wrote it down in symbols. See? All right, knowing then it would be a prophet to come in the last church age to be able to expound upon the symbols so that we could see what they meant. Like Brother Brown said, Paul, the book of Hebrews, Paul writing it, said he used the Old Testament in the symbolics, the thing. He even says that John uses those things in the writing of the book of Revelation. He used a lot of the Old Testament forms to break it down. But like I've always tried to tell you, our Naaman, he looks up and he sees chariots jostling in the streets. Well, he may have seen 85 or 285, in Atlanta. Buicks and Oldsmobiles and Pontiacs and Cadillacs and Azusas and everything now running together and just, running like lightning with headlights on, torches like lightning. Well, what? I mean, he couldn't come back right. I saw a Buick and I saw an Oldsmobile. If he'd even seen the word, he couldn't have wrote it down because there wasn't even a word available for it. Right. So he wrote what? What he saw. Chariots jostling in the street. But then it would come down to where the prophet would expound a second on it to us, and there it is, it's clear. See? And those symbols are there, see? But we've had the one to break the symbol. Now, I'm giving all honor and glory to the Lord Jesus Christ, but he did send a messenger. Right? Now, he did send a messenger. Okay? So now we covered what we were doing. Let's go over to chapter 4 now. We'll read verse 1 and 2 of chapter 4 of the Revelation. And then we'll just get into something and try to move on a little bit tonight. Because after this, after the church ages, I looked and behold a door was opened in heaven. And we covered that. What? That's the door is the Lord Jesus Christ. All right. And heaven, we didn't spend that much time on it, but heaven is where God is. All right. Now listen. Here's the one caution. A lot of people wants to go into the book of Revelations, and they can bring you beautiful soundings and thoughts. All right. And I said beautiful soundings and thoughts, and I've thoroughly enjoyed, But let's don't be so spiritual until we spiritualize everything and do away with reality. There's people that believe that we're not going to go into rapture in a glorified body. We're going to be in some form of theophany, spiritual form, and the old body's going to drop to the ground and be out in the ashes, and some way we connect back to it over in the future home or somewhere. I don't understand. I never could understand even what I heard. All right. But see, we want a symbol. We want to take the symbol. We got it now. We got it. That door is Jesus Christ. There ain't no door in heaven. That door is down here. That's good. Except you just put the wrong word in there. There ain't no door in heaven. Just remember, the only way you can get to heaven is by Jesus Christ, who is the door. And the only heaven there is where God is at. So don't do away with what's there. All right? But let's don't wait till we all get there to understand what that is. See? We can understand it here. Because there's always the connection between the two. Right? So watch what he's going on now. And the first voice which I heard were as of a trumpet talking with me, which said, come up hither and I'll show thee things which must be hereafter. In other words, after this. All right? We went through the voice. The same voice that called you to tell you to turn around in new birth is the same voice that'll call you up. But that voice is up. You say, no, it's just calling me up out of the world. Amen. That ought to be the new birth. The new birth ought to start us out of this world. And then the stature of perfect man is still while we're here on the earth, right? We're going up. We're hearing the voice. But one day we will go up. Because we're not going to be like, what is it, the Jehovah Witnesses? We're going to be just... Their basic thought is you're going to be right here on earth and you know, you're building cars and you're mad at your boss and you just can't stand it because he's fussing at you for missing something. And the next day, the boss is happy and you're happy and we're still building cars. You say, now they don't believe it like that. Well, why not? They believe we're going to be going along right here. And they're like, what's something happening to them? Goes right. Of course, they've got a good doctrine, though. If you know their doctrine, they believe this group of people down here is the one that's going to be going through this. But that great called out 144,000, they believe, is the ones down through time. They're going to be up in heaven. I just got lost right there, didn't you? Because they're so spiritual, they're going to make me stay down here. But so revelated, they're going up there. Well, I thought we believed that we was going up there with God. And I thought there would be people live down here. See, they've got scripture, but just lining it up wrong. He said, that ain't what they believe. Brother Dick, go find you one and ask him, is that what he believes? Then you'll come back and say, well, you know, he said that's what he believes. Brother Dick will do that anyway. So most of you won't. You won't worry about it. But now think about it. So let's go to verse 2 now for tonight. And immediately I was in the Spirit. Now, if you've noticed, that's four times in the book of Revelation, I'm pretty sure, where he's talking about being in the Spirit. Joy in our spirit, is it? And behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. All right. Now, we're going to be dealing with a two-part thing. First, the throne. All right. Then, the one sitting on the throne. All right. Now, what is that throne in heaven? All right. Now, remember, you're going to have to watch it in a minute because I'll repeat it. What do you mean, Brother Dale? The throne of God is in my heart. Well, amen. If you know what you're talking about, I'm amen in the statement that's right. I'm not amening what your thought is about it. I'm not agreeing with your thought. Because a lot of people have the thought that there ain't no heaven. It's all right here in our heart. Well, where's the future home going to be? All right here in our heart. We're going to play harps and sit on clouds. There won't be no clouds because that has to do with the other parts of it. And it wouldn't be no harps, so we're going to... I guess I'll have it made then. You know, you ever played an imaginary guitar? Brother Dick and these brothers can just play these guitars. Our brother Chris come along and just play all these things. They hand it to me and I said, uh-uh. But you know, in my mind, I can beat every one of them. And I never miss a note in my mind. Beautiful piece of machinery. But I can't get it out of there, you know, down on to where it's supposed to be done. All right, now let's get. But we're going to be dealing with a two parts. Now, like we dealt with verse 1, where he said there was an open door, and that door was Christ. All right? And a voice, and it was the voice of Christ. Was there any problems with that? No, because it's the one person. Listen to the prophet today as he was saying, you know, talking about in the church age book, how that people think in their doctrines. And he says, there's not just but one God. He said, that's what we're trying to explain. The dim Jews won't have a Father, Son, Holy Ghost doctrine. What he said, he said, you can't take that to them. He said, because they don't believe in that. But then that Jew will tell you that the Messiah will be a human person born. But he knows that's God. That will be God standing on earth, right? He knows that. Now don't make two or three gods out of it. Neither does it make a oneness. Because he can understand that there's a God in heaven to speak. And not like people think, well, what that was is God was up in heaven and Jesus was a ventriloquist, you know, and he could, and God would speak out of heaven. You ever heard that one? That was a long time ago. But now listen. That throne. No. That throne started on earth. And then has to be a reality in heaven. You say, well, you don't think it's a reality now? I sure do. It's in my heart. Great thing. But yet to take it all to be in my heart and nowhere else would mess up everything. Just as much as if you put it all in heaven and had nothing in your heart, what would you be? Right? You break it all, put it up into heaven. And have nothing in your heart. Or you take it all in your heart, put nothing up in heaven. What have you got? You sure left out a whole lot. You've left out a great understanding. All right? So then God's throne is right here in our heart. But that will come on the day of Pentecost. We wasn't born with it in us. It had to come on the day of Pentecost. All right, the new birth. All right. Now, it was in Jesus Christ. The very throne of God was the very heart of the Lord Jesus Christ. All right. And in being that then, when he came on the day of Pentecost, he would dwell in our soul to give us eternal life. All right. And then a pull starts to carry us in an upward form. But one day we'll leave this earth. Now, I told you I'd give you a little key every once in a while. So when I'd say I'd give you a little key every once in a while, I'd pay attention to what's fixing to be said. All right? So if you take a little key every once in a while, think about it. Then the bride of Christ has got a lot to do with this that we're talking about. The bride of Jesus Christ. Not the church world now. They got their place. But the bride of Jesus Christ has got a lot to do with it. All right? So we ought to think about it. All right. But now note, there was a throne set in heaven. Now, on the day of Pentecost, that throne started on earth. But now listen. Did the throne start on earth and then go to heaven, or did the throne start in heaven and come to earth? Now, what do you think? I think it was in heaven first. Because according to my understanding of the Bible, Jesus Christ was supposed to be a lame slain before the foundation of the world. And from my understanding of what I've been trying to bring to you, that what we're reading is now in heaven. Right? So then it was brought from heaven to earth. The throne of God was brought from heaven to earth. The throne of God was the Lord Jesus Christ. You agree? The very heart, soul, being, person, and all of the Lord Jesus Christ. Did you understand all them? Heart, soul, being, person. That's why Jesus could say over there after his resurrection, he said, all power is given unto heaven and earth. And I know we got it in here somewhere. Brother Brown said, look at there. He said, God ain't got no power. He said, he's a powerless God. Unless you can see they're both the same. Now, if you can see the same, they're the same, then you see where everything's at. Right? So the true understanding is one God. So now, if I don't read anything, I'll give you these notes later and to do because I told him, I said, I don't know which way I'm going. I don't. So I'll find out in a little bit and I'll go that way. So you bear with me. But you see, the throne of God was in the heart of the Lord Jesus Christ. When he said the kingdom is within, they're arguing, was it over here, was it over there, was it in him, or what it was. He was the kingdom. He was the king, and he was the kingdom. Huh? And when he was here on earth, God lived on a throne. In the heart of the Lord Jesus Christ. All right. He gave his life to release the life of God. Right. That life of God could come back into you and I. All right. See, then when he died, he said, into thy hands I commend my spirit. When he died, he went up, right? And the corporal body of Jesus Christ is on the throne in heaven. That's what we just seen. One sitting on the throne. All right? As I've always say, and I know I'm carnal and forgive me, but I always say that it's not a lifeless body. Wait. No, my Bible says, I've given you the other day, Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you. You say, well, that's right in here. That's right, but there's got to be something there that's identical to this here, or we don't go there. Right? So don't make it all here. Don't make it all there. Make it the way God wants it. He gave his life that it could come back in you and I and bring the throne of God in the baptism of the Holy Ghost into our soul to give us eternal life. Now, but we only received the earnest. Is that the Bible? Earnest of our inheritance. Is that the prophet's message? We only receive an earnest. Well, see, something's pulling us. You look behind me, it's a statue of a perfect man. You're born again at faith. And you look up at the top and you'll see love. That's pulling you. Drawing you. All right. Now, so then the throne that we're seeing in heaven started on earth. Then when it went to heaven, there's a throne. Huh? You say literal? More than literal. Why? Because Jesus Christ raised in a glorified body. Do you agree? So then the throne would be more than literal. You want to argue with us about the point of, well, we think it ain't literal. Well, I believe it is, and more than literal. Because it's eternal. Well, don't you think one of these days, Brother Dale, that throne will be done away with? You show me one quote from Brother Branham or the Bible that you're right. All the representations that was ever used in the Bible to represent Christ will be in heaven when we get there. It makes you think, doesn't it? You used to mean, Brother Dale, there'll be a cross there. Well, why don't you believe there'll be one there? An amazing thing to me, and I thought it was so wonderful. How many of you ever been to Biltmore House? Did you go in the garden and look at all of the trees and the shrubbery and the thing? They got apple trees growing right straight up the wall. Close is that, you know, planted closer than that guitar is. It goes right up the wall. You seen it? And the limbs go up and out and go up. Right against that wall. They designed it that way. I stood there and looked at it and I thought, oh, we get to heaven, there'll still be a lot of crosses, you know? No, no, the cross was a bad thing. Do you think the cross was a bad thing? It was your ability to go to heaven. The only way you're going to get to heaven is by the cross, and you think it's a horrible thing? The tree of life will be there, according to the book of Revelation, about 22, either 21 or 22, you know, and the river of life will be there. Why do you want to do away with any form of God? When he raised with nail prints in his hand, do you think when you would get there to the future home, he's not going to have them? No. Maybe that's what you believe, that ain't what I believe. I believe they'll still be there. Not to have to remind us to be part of his attributes. All right. See, that's why when I get started that I begin to just roll into the Godhead and I can't help it. So, you know, bear with me. That's where I begin to see things. You know. Because I see everything in him. I'm just trying to express it to you and I. So, all right? The throne. Come to man. A way was made for it to be delivered to mankind to make a throne into our hearts. Now, whose throne is that? Now, Jesus, according to Revelation, what is it, 3:21? I've got it in here, but that's all right. They don't have to pull it up. He said, he that overcometh will sit with me in my throne as I've overcome and sit with the Father in his throne. Now if you'll notice, and I know Brother Brown uses the word own a lot of times, but that's alright, I looked at that too. But if you'll notice, it doesn't say on, it says in. Because you got to make the person and God one. You got to be, everything's got to come together to the one. Own is like setting a person on to another person, or you know, whatever you do. Alright. Then when Jesus was here, he wasn't on his own throne. His throne doesn't come into being until the millennium. I got it laying here, so we'll get to it in a minute and read it. But you see, what he was doing was making a way for the Father's throne come into being. The Father's throne is the baptism of the Holy Ghost, the new birth. Jesus was making a way for the Father's throne to come into being, into reality, releasing his life to where it could come and live in you and I and bring the Father's throne into being. And Brother Branham said it's been the Father's throne down through seven church ages. as Son of God. He said, then he'll come back as Son of Man. But then he'll be Son of David. And that's really the promise to Jesus Christ, because David's son, Solomon, took over the natural. But Jesus Christ is to be our God in the millennium to fulfill the promise to David. Is really the promise. Now, we'll read these. We've got them here and doing. But I want you to think. I'm trying to just not read so much tonight, just to preach a little about it. Think about it. Now, this will help for later on down the road. You know that it takes 7 church ages, and each age having the baptism of the Holy Ghost, the new birth, to bring the Father's throne into its fullest being. That's why I can't go along with these people saying that Luther and Wesley and them didn't have nothing. They had the baptism of the Holy Ghost for their day. The day was justification or sanctification. The baptism of the Holy Ghost has been the same in every age, because it's the new birth. All right. Now, well, then it's going to take 7 church ages to bring this throne into total being. And then when we get there, you don't find it in Revelation 4. You find the Lamb in Revelation 5. With 7 horns and 7 eyes, which are the church ages and the messengers. All right. Write that down. Think on it. But we're talking about here when this age is not complete. If it's completed, we'd be gone. So we're still in the forming of the Father's throne. Maybe that's not a good word. I don't know. I don't have the education. Forgive me, folks. You put it in there where it's supposed to be. Now, in this age, all is to be completed. You agree? All right. The Father's throne is going to become complete in this age. You said, well, it was there in the back. Sure, it was. It was there in each one of them. But it's the new birth. See, if you just took Luther and Wesley and them, I mean, you just took Peter and them and Paul and just went off the earth, where would we be? And you would not have, because it is a lamb with 7 horns and 7 eyes. It's not a lamb with 6 horns, and then you try some way to put 2 eyes on the next and make it 7 eyes or something, right? That's not what it is. It's 7 horns and 7 eyes. You take out any church age, the lamb is not complete. So the throne in the hearts of mankind of the baptism of the Holy Ghost, when that is completed, finished, complete, then the throne will be completed. He can't go to be Son of Man until he finishes out all of the doings of Son of God. Brother Brown said he left some work for us to do. You need that quote? He said, when he went away, he didn't finish all things. He said he left some work for you and I to do. What are we to do? Bring forth the Father's throne. Then I get back and I look at the message and the titles and the doings and I think about it. You know that Brother Branham showing you that exactly how it would do? That Brother Branham preached a message one time and they changed the title just a little. I had to look it up, but they changed it. But the original title was Raising Jesus from History. Now they got, if you're looking it up, you'll have to pull it under another word or two there. Raising Jesus from History. Now most of you know what I'm fixing to say, because you've heard it many times. You know that even though the Holy Ghost was there, the new birth, but you know that man and his ideas, he dethroned God in the church ages. Maybe that's not a good word to use, but my best understanding. In other words, they took God off the throne and made a trinity. And then they could shift around the persons that was up there, you know, and move around, a better way of saying it. They dethroned him. Now, come on, folks. Just be sensible. I guess you note all of this when you first, before you ever come into message. Note some things about it, yeah. But you realize our doctrines took God off the throne, even in our heart, to be in full control. Don't tell me you didn't do as we all do, trying to figure out when you first come into the message, first thing you're trying to figure out is the Godhead and all, and then you come up with the idea of trying to figure out who do you pray to. The one person, one time I heard a preacher say, now we know who to pray to. Well, I thought that's who was praying to all the time. We just had him off the throne. But you see, when this prophet began to preach, God was being restored to the throne of the revelation of understanding. He was bringing back the Father's throne to where the Father could sit on his own throne. All right? Is that enough to cover the throne? Then we'll read a lot, okay? But the one sitting on the throne, that's what John said. The first he saw a throne. And there's no telling how long he sat there and looked, or stood there and looked at it. He's just seeing a throne. Then he saw one sitting on the throne. Because if not, then why would he emphasize it like that? Who was that sitting on the throne? It's Almighty God in the form of Jesus Christ. Not Jesus the flesh. He said, well, it's sitting on the throne up there. Yeah, but it's not dead either. You see, church, what we've done, we've taken God off the throne. We put other gods on that throne, whether you like that or not. Brother Brown says you can call him Jesus, Jesus, and worship the devil. Now, do you need that quote? But you can call him Jesus, Jesus, and be worshiping the devil. Why? Because if it's not revealed to you who Jesus Christ is, you're still going to think he's a second person of the Trinity or a third or some kind of a form. That's where you get all these two lords and River Jordans and all that from. They got to have two or three people running around. They just can't settle it down. Well, y'all got it down to oneness. Well, I'll just stay where I'm at. You just go on where you're going and let's see who gets there. But you know what? When I get there, I'll love you just as well. Because that throne in my heart has nothing but love in it. It may not be to the capstone of love, no. But it sure does love people and want to help them. In any way I can, anything. Why? Because I believe it's Christ. But do you understand what I'm saying now? If you don't understand one God, then you're going to be trying to make too many people sitting on the throne. Now, Brother Dick says, now that's the reason you can't understand is you don't get it down to where the one God's at. You can't understand the Bible with a Trinity. It won't work out. You're going to run aground somewhere. And see, like the first seal, here stands the Lamb with the book in his hand, and there goes the white horse rider. Well, us Trinitarians, when we had it like that, it didn't make no difference how many run off. Look at God going there. Got his little Cupid arrows shooting love into the heart. And Brother Branham believed that. Until God straightened him out. He said, give me a quote. Okay. He said, I used to believe that Jesus loved me and God hated me until I found out it was the self-same person. That's a direct quote. You want it? But listen, church, is God on the throne in your heart? Now, let's get it right. Without the baptism of the Holy Ghost, you can't understand. Do you agree? Everybody was agreeing a moment ago on that. All right. Because the baptism of the Holy Ghost is the Father's throne in your heart. Right? The baptism of the Holy Ghost is Father's throne in your heart. The person sitting on the throne is the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. In the form of the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Not making us two people, but making me a child of God that I should have been in the beginning. Listen to Stephen Wilson today talking about, you know, there where Brother Branham, I believe, is blessed. God of this. No, come on. Spoken Word's original seat. Where Brother Branham said that when you're born of Word and Spirit brings you back like it should have been in the beginning. He said, I just caught that. I'm pretty sure it's in the message there. He said, I just caught that. To be born to the Spirit of God, walking in the light of the hour that you and I are living, God's throne is coming back into being. Beginning to match from here what's there. When we match what's there, we go there because there's nowhere else to go. But is God on the throne in your life? And you say, now wait a minute, Brother Dale. Well, let's wait a minute. Now, when we were believing in Trinitarian doctrine, right? I said, when we were believing a Trinitarian doctrine, that's all of us, you know, whether you like it or not. So Luther and Wesley and them and Azusa Street Pentecost was Trinitarians. But you know, they had the baptism of the Holy Ghost, the new birth. But in their revelation, God was dethroned because He was a Trinitarian concept. So you can have the baptism of the Holy Ghost and not have all the Word. You agree? What about it? Some of you claim the baptism of the Holy Ghost, and I'm not arguing with nobody about it, before you ever come into the message. And you're Trinitarians. And believing that God had three, and it was like a bunch of grapes, and we had it all explained, and now, you know. Is that true? But you see, then this message starts doing away with them gods. Right? Now, wouldn't we told to get rid of our gods? Well, we thought it was all of them burning them idols. You realize that you and I had a Trinitarian doctrine in our mind, and those gods was on the throne of our mind. Them gods. Not the true God. This message is the only message there is that can bring God back to the throne the way it's supposed to be. You say, well, it could be with the book of Acts. Yeah, but see, that I'm glad you said it that way, because we didn't understand the book of Acts and the apostles and their doctrine until the prophet came. So now, okay, we're back where we started. To get Him on the throne. You said, Brother Dale, is He on the throne of your heart? I believe I have the baptism of the Holy Ghost. All right? I do. I believe I have the baptism of the Holy Ghost. But is God on the throne? The prophet of God said it like this. He said, is He Lord of your life? You remember the message called Doors in Doors? You need to go listen to them. He said there was doors in our heart that we had the door closed to. Now, I do not believe we had sin in there. Like sin of natural filthy garbage. But we didn't have Him on the throne of our heart either. We had too many husbands. Right? Is that a problem? too many husbands because we had a Father, Son, Holy Ghost, and all like that. Now, if we drop over too far and go to the oneness, we're just as bad, so don't throw no stones at nobody. But what about it? Is he God of your life? Brother Brown said, we want him in our lives, and I'm quoting if you like it. He said, just enough to save us from sin. Just enough to keep us from hell. But said, is he Lord of our lives? Is he all that there is, or is there still a lot of things in between? I love my wife. I love my kids. I love my grandkids and great-grandkids. But my wife will tell you in a hurry that I've got one love that I have that she cannot, and she's never tried to because she's got the same love. Right? And by that, she would never get offended at what I'd say about it because she knows who I'm talking about and what it is. But she would in no way to try to take away the one that I have on the throne in my heart. Why? Because he's trying to get on her throne too. You know? See, then that way it makes a husband and wife as one. So we got the same God, the same thoughts. Might not understand each other correctly. Yeah, okay, that's human. But we still got them old brains. But in the finality, what is it? He is the Lord of our lives. We may love our families, but we can't love them like we do God. Right? Man asked me one time, used to go to church here, he said, if it come to a time that you had to make a choice between your wife or your children, I said, which would you give up if you had to make a choice? I said, very simple, I don't have to think on it. I said, I'd give up my children. Because my wife was the ability to get those children. And I'd still have even the ability to maybe bring forth some more. You know, through her. But I said, first off, she's part of me. He said, well, I can't say that. Well, he's honest. He ain't here in the church today. He's honest. He told it. His children meant more to him than his wife did. Well, why would you want to be that away? My children have the same DNA, but they are not the one that me and my wife is one. Right? Then we're not even the one like God is. Because there is two of us. You know? They just one of him. I wish we could get that down into our minds and think on it. Yeah, but we don't want to talk about the Godhead. We want to get out of these deep things. Where? I thought the capstone revelation was the last revelation. You need that now in the church age book. The final revelation is the capstone revelation of the Godhead. To realize that you and I are a part of God. Made manifest as sons and daughters. All right, do you understand then? The throne, come on the day of Pentecost. It came on the day of Pentecost in 3,000 people, right? It came on the day of Pentecost in 120 in the upper room. That 120 in the upper room had to teach that 3,000 how to climb up the pyramid. Then that was lost down through the ages, and they never dealt with the pyramid and that dethroned God. The prophet of God started back to returning those things and began to preach and got into 62 there, started talking about stature of a perfect man. Bringing God back to the right place on his throne in our hearts and lives. But just remember now, when we start reading, we're not going to do away with that there. We're not going to become so spiritual until everything, you know. No, we're going to go up with him into heaven and be up there for about 3.5 years. While he's appearing to Israel, Brother Ramsey said he slips back. Will you explain that one? He's up there with us having a wonderful time, and he slips back and appears to the Jews. Hey, remember, he's God. Huh? But see, then we all come back as the bride in Revelation 19. So we're not in there between 4 and 19. But we understand all that's going to go on between there. Is that enough? Is that enough to think on it? You know, I preached a message. Now let me read. So we'll read fast, okay? So if I jump backwards and forth, forgive me. Okay, brother? Let's go to quote number 10. 10A, excuse me. 10A. We got some A, B's, and C's in this one tonight. And I told him, I said, I'm going to wire you out because we're going from one direction to the other one. So go ahead, brother. Let's go to 10A. All right. Which is questions and answers, 1955, 628E. Paragraph 82. In the Garden of Eden, the devil took man's head. Now I'm reading to prove what I preached. Okay? Everybody understand what I'm going to do? I'm going to read to you to prove what I preached. Okay? The devil took man's head, God took his heart. That's the throne of God, where God dwells in the human heart. And now, if it's intellectually, watch, sure, then a man or woman that's born of God will act like the kingdom they're from. Hallelujah. If it's just intellectually, don't act like it. Can't live it. Won't work. Look at the next one. Revelation chapter 4, paragraph 237, 61, 101. Now, what is a man? He's a triune being, body, soul, spirit. How many knows that? What's God's approach? What is his heart? You remember my message. God chose a man's heart for his control tower. The devil chose his head for his control tower, see? He makes him see things. What? Look through his eyes. Now, that's talking about Satan. Satan makes us see things. We look through his eyes. All right? But in it, God in his heart makes him believe things that he cannot see. Well, if you can just show it to me, I'll believe it. Now you got to believe it, and you can see it. Right? Yeah. Look through his eyes. But God in his heart makes him believe things that he cannot see. Did he see? Did he see? God is on his heart. In the heart of man is the throne of God. You get it? Man. God made his throne in the heart of man. Now, watch. What's the first part of the man? The first part of the man is body. The next part is his soul. You know, the interchangeable back in the early ministries. Okay? Which is the nature of the spirit. And that makes him what he is. He approaches now. He approaches now. Now, the third part of the man is his spirit. And his spirit is the center of his heart. And in the center of the heart is where God comes for the throne. Go to the next one. B. Excuse me, C. A, B, C, yeah. Trying to do God a service, 1965, 1227, B. All right, paragraph 133 through 134. But watch. God likened us to sheep, and we must have a leader. And that leader is not man. That leader is the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of Christ among us. A little while in the world seeth me no more. His physical being was raised up to the throne of God, where the Spirit was on the throne. Now Christ is on the throne, Jesus. A little while in the world seeth me no more, yet ye shall see me, for I'll be with you to the end of the world, even in you. The throne of God of Christ is erected into the heart. And he's sitting on God's throne, but in the millennium he sits on his own throne, which he swore that he raised up this man, his son David's son, to sit on his throne. All right. So now where's the throne of God? In our heart. When this throne here in our heart matches what's in heaven, we go to heaven. But just remember, it's got to match what's there. It's not that matching what's here. All right? It's not that matching what's here. It's what's here matching what's there. Okay? So then who is that Father's throne? Now let's go back. We'll pick up now number 4, brother. We'll read for just a little while. All right? This is the message of be not afraid, it is I, preached 1960, 305. And he climbed so high till he went all the way into heaven. And the Bible said he is so high till he has to look down to see heavens. I like that, heavens, because there is 7. Right? Come on. Heaven is his throne and the earth is his footstool. There when he climbed so high into power and glory until he sits on the Father's throne and looks down, and there's not even a sparrow can fall to the street without him knowing it. So where's Jesus sitting now? On the Father's throne. Earthly being, he's sitting in your heart by the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Heavenly being, he's on the throne. We'll read it in a minute. We'll run around and say even his corporal body is laying on the throne. All right, let's go. Go to the next one. The Sardisian church age. All right. Now he that overcomes shall sit with me on my throne as I have overcome and sat down on my Father's throne. In other words, explanation of how that a throne of God can be the Father's throne and how he overcame and went to his Father's throne. All right, are you reading? Explanation. In other words, now I'm going to explain it to you. Wouldn't that be what he's saying? All right. In other words, I took within my body the Holy Spirit. That's what the Lord Jesus was saying. I overcame all the things of the world through the temptations by the Holy Spirit and took over. And in him dwells the fullness of the Godhead bodily. All powers in heaven and earth is given into my hands. He said all the power. Then God is powerless if he's another person. For the Bible said, Jesus said, after his resurrection, all power in heaven and earth is given unto me. All right? So what is he doing? He's taking, explaining, I took within my body. What does the Bible say? Hebrews 10:5. A body thou hast prepared me. God came down to earth in a body. The body we call Jesus. All right? Now, all right, go to the next one. This is the first seal, 318, 1963, paragraph 152 through 155. We all know as Christians that God swore to David that he would raise up Christ to sit on his throne and give him an everlasting kingdom here on the earth. He did it. And Jesus said, he that overcomes the Antichrist and all the things that would the world shall sit with me on my throne, as I have overcome and have sat down on my Father's throne. See? Now, someday he rises from the Father's throne. We're going to chapter 5. Chapter 5 is when that'll take place. All right. Now, someday he rises from the Father's throne. Something's got to happen then. He's going to rise from the Father's throne. All right, look what he's going to do. And goes to take his own throne. Now he comes to call his subjects. How's he going to claim them? He's already got the book of redemption in his hands. All right. Now, so where are we? We're on number 6. All right, there's the scripture for Revelation 3:21. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also came and sat down with my Father in his throne. When he was crucified, that was God in it, and he went right to the throne. The Spirit came back into you and I. Right? That's why the Father's throne's here, but the Father's throne's there. There shouldn't be any problem with thinking of God. But see, that's what everybody wants to do. You don't want everybody wants to go up there That's why their denominations, forgive me for saying it like that, they say, one of these days we're going to heaven. One of these days we're going to heaven. We're going up there and everything will be great. We won't have no problems up there. All right? Now, the people of this message got so revelated, so back there in the 60s, that's what they started preaching about the time we came in the message. The Father's throne is here. So there's no heaven. So they've done away with heaven. It's just gone because there's no use for it. Now, I don't believe it that way. Never did then. Don't believe it now. I believe there's a heaven to go to. And then I believe heaven is one day going to come to earth. Then we're not Jehovah Witnesses. It's just making cars and keep on building cars, are we? We're going to have a good time. All right. So we're going to sit with him in his throne. Now remember, this is the only age. Now follow me. Listen. If you think they're not waiting on us, Hebrews 10:40, or what is it? 10:40. They without us cannot be made perfect. 11:40. Okay. Now watch the point. This is the only age that man can develop into, and the throne of the Son of Man can be here on earth in the change of the body. All right. You agree? Now, what about all of those behind us then? See, they're going to be taken into that throne part that they had no understanding. Because they didn't teach these things. They had no understanding of the Son of Man. I've always said to you, show me where Paul even, the great apostle, ever mentioned Son of Man. That was withholding from them. Even after John the Revelator wrote it in his Gospels and went over to Patmos and saw one like unto the Son of Man, he still never could write about it. But he didn't have a revelation. This age, we've got to become to the place of the Son of Man, the bride of Jesus Christ, on this earth before we go there. Because you can't go. Now listen, this may not mean a thing to you, but listen. You can't go from Son of God to the millennium. No more than you could go from Jesus Christ crucified and went to heaven and thus step in the millennium. Now that couldn't happen, could it? But we had to have the new birth. We got to have a way to get to the millennium, and it takes the Son of Man. Then we can talk about millennium. Right? Yeah, go ahead to the next. I think it's number 6. Is that what? Or no, it's number 8, excuse me. All right. I'll read just a few more. Hear ye him, 1957, 105, paragraph 80, E86. Then if he is working, then if the only thing that differed in Jesus, now watch him, his corporal body sits at the right hand of God on the throne of God. Now we know it's not down here then, right? So there's got to be a throne for him to sit on. Right? See, then you say, well, no, it's all right down here. Well, then where's he at? That's all I got the problems with everybody. I'm sarcastic. Where's he at? No. You know he's not here that way. So you better keep the throne in heaven. All right, watch. His corporal body sits at the right hand of God on the throne of God. And watch. That's not Jesus' throne. He's talking about in heaven, right? That's his Father's throne. All right? His throne, what? He's the heir, fall heir to that. Why? Because it's all one. He has David's throne. But he's on his Father's throne waiting. And he that overcometh shall sit with me on my throne as I have overcome and sat on my Father's throne. Now he's waiting there in a corporal body. But God sent his spirit back to the church. Go on to the next. Number 9. It wasn't so from the beginning. 1963-06, paragraph E53. The only thing different tonight, I love that. You say, well, God just not here like he used to be. Where'd he go? Right? You took him off the throne again. Right? The only thing different tonight, that he's using your flesh and my flesh. Because his flesh sits at the right hand of the throne of God in majesty and glory. He that overcometh shall sit with me on my throne, as I have overcome and sat down on my Father's throne. Oh, what a wonderful thing. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, sitting in the heavens, and all these mortal souls that's just under the altar. Now, that's not the fifth sealed Jew, that's the bride. Look up and see that body sitting there, that corporal body. Oh, I feel religious, that corporal body. He could talk of a corporal body. What would be his trouble? Let's go to the next. This is the working of the Holy Spirit, 1956, 8:16, E32. And tonight, Christ is not even sitting on his own throne. He's sitting on whose throne? His Father's throne. He that overcometh shall sit with me on my throne, as I have overcome and sitting on my Father's throne. Isn't that marvelous? And we have that great and grand privilege of knowing someday we'll be able to sit with him on his throne. And he takes the throne of David, which he's heir to, and will reign with him 1,000 years on earth, and then through eternity forever. All right, next. I told him I'd wait and call numbers, so we're down to the next. Or get up, don't go through the A's. Go on over. Go on to 10 by itself. I told him I was going to put them through tonight. No, 10 by itself. Go to A, B, C, off. Okay. Number 10, the working of the Holy Spirit, 56:32. That's the one we just read, right? Okay, go to number 11. All right. Just scroll on now. We're going to go one after the other. Go to number 11. The third seal, 1963, 320, paragraph 29. Now, all that understands that, say amen. He has been doing the work of the kinsman redeemer, but there will come a time that when the redeeming work will be over, and when the redeeming work is over, then he leaves the throne of God where he's seated now. That's why everybody thought redemption was over when the seals broke. Because he left the throne, went and got the book. But remember, we're seeing what was, what is, and what will be. All right? But that's not his throne. Where's he seated now? But that's not his throne. He that overcomes shall sit with me in my throne. I have overcome and have sat down on my Father's throne. This is not his throne. That belongs to the Spirit God, Christ, the Lamb. It doesn't belong to him. He is the incarnate God, see, which is the same God made incarnate. Number 12. He identified Christ of all ages, 64:6:16, paragraph 50, 51, 52. Then when he died, rose, ascended, and sent back the Holy Spirit. That was the Son of God. God is a Spirit, and through the church ages has been Son of God. Are you following him? And then in the millennium, it's Son of David, sitting on the throne, ruling. He has ascended up. He that overcomes shall sit with me on my throne, as I have overcome and sat down on my Father's throne. He is sitting on the Father's throne now, but in the millennium he sits on his own throne because he is the Son of David. He is Son of Man, Son of God, Son of David. It's just perfect. Now, church, that ought to be enough. There's a couple of two or three more quotes. But I hope you understand. If that ain't enough to show what I was preaching, then you need to go back and listen to what I was preaching. Because on the day of Pentecost, the Father's throne, the baptism of the Holy Ghost, came into the hearts of the saints. Jesus Christ had to make a way. The corporal body lays on the throne, waiting, finishing up. You're going to find that body in Revelation 5 on the throne. Right. Now, but you see, he come into our hearts to make way. No more than he could come down and die even, and then just take us to the millennium. We had to have a new birth. And neither can he just come down here in this age and just finish it up and just take us all to the millennium. There's got to be a way. So when that prophet came out there in the early ministry and began to talk about the Son of Man, and he said, that same Son of Man is here today. He said, and to prove it, that Son of Man stood back there and the dead was raised, the sick was healed, demons were cast out, and he said, he's doing it now. Back there, he was revealing the secrets of the heart. Now, said, you're, who was it? He said, I saw you under the tree. You know, Philip, Nathaniel, I saw you under the tree. Standing here, turn his back to the crowd and show the sign of the Son of Man. You know, the sign of the Son of Man is a resurrection sign. I hope you understand that one. It's the resurrection sign. The Son of Man is when it raised the dead. The Son of Man, not Brother Branham, the Son of Man ministry standing here in the end time raised the dead. He said, no, it's a son, brother. Well, then how about Smith Wigglesworth that raised 15 or 23 or something from the dead? Was that the Son of Man? It was the Son of Man ministry if it raised the dead, but it was in the wrong place, wrong time. It was God working. I hope you go home and think on this tonight. The Father's throne is in our hearts, right? There's a Father's throne in heaven. There's one on the throne in our hearts by the baptism of the Holy Ghost, and there's one on that throne in heaven. There's not two or three sitting on that throne. There's one on the throne. Brother Brown said, the Lamb come forth from the Father's throne to take the book. Well, it's got to be something going to happen. We had musicians. Let's stand. Think on these things. You get to preaching sometime and you wish you had about 4 hours, you know, and all, but the mind can only comprehend what the body can endure by sitting. But, you know, think on these things. The throne of God is in your heart, but there is a heaven. Heaven has come to earth, and we're resurrected, sitting in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Oh, what wonderful. But there is a heaven for it to come from. We're going up with Him one day in a rapture. But you know what? Heaven's going to open. We're going to come back. All right? And when we come back into a millennial reign, it won't be then the future home. It'll be the millennial reign. But then in the future home, heaven will come to earth. Ain't going to do away with heaven. Just put us in the right place. What was it on Star Trek? I always miss that, but that old fella would stand there and he'd say, what do you call that man's name? Beam me up. Beam me up, Scotty. And he just moved from one place to another. Well, you know, we're going to go up. But we're going to come back. And it ain't going to be Scotty for doing it. And like I told you the other day, but think about when that prophet said it. When science says, Einstein said in the fourth dimension, you can pass one object through another object. It's so fast that you never mess up the molecules in the ball or something. No. And Brother Run said, Jesus came back so fast, he just come right through the wall. Science knows a little bit. They just don't know how to get us there. Brother Moat told me about it, and at the end of World War II, they were already working on decomposing a human body and send it to California. The problem was they couldn't get it back together. So they must have been trying to move something to California, right? Whether it be rats or what it was, they was dealing with something then, because they'd begin to break into a supernatural realm. And then here comes that prophet showing what that is. Go ahead, brother. What do we got?
146. Jesus be the Lord of all the brethren.
Amen.
Jesus be the Lord of all. Jesus be the Lord. Jesus be the Lord of all.
146, Red Book. Not my own. But let me yield it and let him wash it out. Not sinful things. We just don't know how to yield them. Brother Brown said, you come to my house. He said, or I come to your house. Said, I'm welcomed in the living room. He said, but you don't want me to go in the rest of the house. Right? He said, really, if you're saying, let me be at home. He said, I can go right into your bedroom. Get me a sandwich. Now, he's once said this. Crawl up in the bed and sit there and eat my sandwich. That's just being at home. But now, if you come to my house and you get up in my bed, and you bring a sandwich, you better be ready to clean up the bed. Because I ain't quite exactly where I need to be, maybe. Maybe I ain't got all of it yielded. But you're welcomed in my home. Told Brother Benny and Sister Brenda there the other day, I said, you're going to sleep in a bedroom where celebrities have slept. And I began to name off some in the message that had spent the nights there with us. And I said, you know what? Even Dick and Gail's been there. I said, Brother Ernie Villanueva, he's been there. You're welcomed in my home. But is he welcomed in our heart? What about it? Has he got first place? Some people have to work. I agree. No problem if that's your job. But don't go take a job that'll make you work. You can't come to church. You need money, we'll try to help you. Be like a brother that was in a church one time. He told his pastor, he said, I'm going to get me a job to where I work on Sundays and things and make more money that I can give more money to the Lord. And both of them is backslid. Good excuse, isn't it? I'm not saying that they're not sending money. Backslid. Why? Because Christ comes first. Jesus be the Lord of all. Jesus be the Lord of all. Jesus be the Lord of all. Kingdom of all. One more time before we go. Jesus be. Yes, I surrender. Jesus, I surrender all. Jesus, I surrender. Thank you. can make the little dog well. In Jesus' name. I believe it. Anybody else? The Lord of all, the kingdom of all, Jesus, I surrender all. Jesus, I Our sister's got a problem with her leg hurting her. She's been to the chiropractor, his nerves and things. You know how that happened. So let's just believe it'll be all right. Let's just believe everything's going to be all right. Okay? We don't have to pray. We just have to say, all is well. You believe it? Jesus, surrender all. Jesus, I surrender. Anybody else before we go? Jesus, I surrender. The kingdom's ours. Father, we thank you for tonight and your loving grace unto us. And we pray that what we've been trying to bring out tonight, Lord, has been worthy for the hour that we're living. We just try, and Lord, all we can do is just wait on you. Let you speak, Lord. We love you and we thank you. Go home with everybody. Give everybody a safe journey. May all things be made well in you, Lord. We love you and we thank you. In Jesus' name. Amen. You dismiss.